18. Amen when you're there. It's like two people. Amen when you're there. It's on the board. The Bible reads, "There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health." I'm going to read that again. "There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health." The Bible says the tongue of the wise promotes health. Positive speaking and positive thinking have all been associated with good health, in the same way as forgiveness has been associated with good health. When you speak good of yourself and good of others, you are promoting good health. That's what the writer of Proverbs, the wisest man that lived, has actually said to us. You can read it in any books and any journals, right? I read a few before I've come before you. And one of the things that they've really established is that the power of positive speaking heals people's lives. It really heals their life. It heals their health. When you're going through a time of stress management, when they're taking you through a time of stress management, that's the thing that they make you do. They make you begin to speak positive words. Now, what more, even us, as children of God, we're supposed to be speaking good of ourselves and good of others all the time. We live in a world now where negativity seems to rule, but God says, "I've put a church there, right? And I've given them power." So the words that they speak should override any negativity that's been spoken in the world, especially in this generation. So we need to be really in the Word of God, hearing what the Word of God is speaking to our own lives, so that we can speak it out into a negative atmosphere. In Genesis chapter 1, when the Holy Spirit was hovering over the darkness, God didn't say, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus." He didn't say that. He spoke positively. He said to a dark situation, "Let there be light." He didn't go around about it. He didn't choose other words. He didn't go into binding and loosing. He didn't do none of those things that we have to conjure up ourselves to do. He just spoke into the darkness, and he spoke opposite. Yeah? He said, "Let there be light. Let there be peace." Yeah? And that's what we need to do in our lives, in the lives of others, instead of taking the darkness in ourselves. And I really want you to receive this today. I really pray that your heart is open. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, with the beginning of these words, I pray, Holy Father, that you be glorified, O God, that you will touch your children today, my God. Holy Spirit, I ask that you will open up our hearts and help us just to receive everything that you have spoken, everything that you want us to hear today. Unblock our ears that we may hear it. If there's any obstacles built up in our hearts, Spirit of the living God, break them down today. Help us to receive. Help it not just to be words that we hear, but words that we listen to, Father God, and it take root in our heart. Help us to be people that will exercise our faith, oh God, and speak your word in every area of our lives. In the precious name of Jesus, Father, you be glorified. Amen. Third John 1 and 2 says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in good health, just as your soul prospers." One of the things God wants us to do is prosper and be in good health. And as I said earlier, to be in good health means that you speak those words. You don't speak of what is actually factual to you. And that's something that we have a habit of doing. And that's not the Spirit of God. God wants us to speak exactly that, like he spoke into the darkness. He spoke light. And we have a habit of speaking our negativity into the air. And do you remember last week, Pastor Robert says that when you When you speak those things, you give the enemy a chance to grab a hold of it. We say these off-the-cuff things like, oh, you know, my sugar is playing up. Oh, my hip is hurting. And we continue to say that. And we don't realize that when we say those words, the devil just grabs a hold of them. And guess what he does with it? He obliges you. Yeah? We say, the devil is a liar. We continue to say that. But if you believe it, what makes him a liar? What makes the devil a liar is God's truth. Sometimes it's not your truth because you believe in the negative. So it's not your truth. The word of God speaks against what you believe. The word of God is the word that is actually right and true. The devil cannot come against the word of God, but he can come against your words. Amen? So if you continuously speak those words, and that's you're speaking what you're going to be eating. Amen? Proverbs 18 and 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You will have what you say. You will have what you say. Believe it. I'm going to say it again. You will have what you say about yourself. So what's the point in speaking negative about yourself when you will get it? Amen? Right? So we need to start speaking positive. I always tell this story that I had an older sister, and it was a continuous thing for her. She always spoke negative about her health, and she spoke it for so many years, right? So from the first time she spoke it, it went out into the atmosphere, right? The devil grabbed a hold of it, and he said, you know what I'm going to do with you? I'm going to make you a host of problems in your health because you keep speaking it. And then she dared to declare when she will die. And you know what the devil did? He says, you know what? If that's what you want, I'm going to do it. My sister always said, I'm going to die before I'm 40. Right? She said that from the age of 15. From the age of 15, she kept saying it. It was something when I was growing up, I always remembered. But my family will tell you now, I'm an advocate for people not saying, oh, my shoes is killing me. We heard that last week. Oh, my back is killing me. They're off the cuff words, but they matter and they have life. Because once you start saying it the first time, you will continue to say it. Right? Every time you're hurt, your feet hurt, you will say the words, my feet are killing me. So you'll say it so much that the devil will say, thank you very much for that invitation. I'm going to take all of it and I'm going to make it effective in your life. When you speak those words to other people, you're doing exactly the same thing, especially when you are a child of God. Once you pronounce from that power that God's given you a negative thing over somebody's life, it will occur. So what do we do? Start speaking life. Yeah? Death and life are in the power of your tongue and my tongue. Yeah? And we've got to realize that when the Bible says that this is so, it is so. Sometimes when we make an off-the-cuff comment to one another, and sometimes we say in jest, but there's a saying, many a true word is said in jest. Sometimes when we really want to say it and we mean it, we say it in a jokingly manner. But really, that's quite dangerous. The Bible talks about coarse gesturing. We don't think it's coarse gesturing, but it is. Because if it's going to bring somebody down or tear them down in the form of a joke, guess what you're doing? You're giving the devil, especially if they receive it, you're giving the devil a good foothold to say, you know what? Just because you spoke that over your friend, over your brother and your sister in church, I'm going to take those words and I'm going to create a circumstance in their life where that thing that you spoke over their lives that they received will happen. Amen? So let's be careful. Let's start and keep declaring good things over one another. Let's keep speaking life over one another. Let's keep speaking positive over one another. That is the job. That is your employment from God. When you say, Jesus Christ, I make you my Lord and Savior, you're saying to God, you know what, God? I'm going to become like you. I'm going to speak how you spoke. Jesus always spoke positively. He never made an excuse around anything. If somebody makes us upset, we make an excuse. Oh, they made me so mad that it came out. But that word, that came out of your mouth, guess what it just done to that other person? Yeah? So let's start speaking life, yeah? But the tongue of the wise promotes health. If you believe you're wise, that's what you'll do. Positive speaking far exceeds you alone. It can help to heal yourself, and it can help to heal others. Positive speaking over your children, this generation, is so, so important. What you speak over your children's life will determine where they will go. It's important that you start speaking from the womb. If anybody's pregnant in the house, hear me today. Amen? It's very important. Colossians 3 and 20 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." Right? Awesome responsibility on you fathers out there. But you know what? It's not just fathers, because God's not gender specific. It's parents. So I'm going to change that word today. Parents, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. One way of discouraging children is to speak negatively about them and to them. It's important that we begin to tell our children what they can be. Begin to tell our children what God says about them. Begin to let them know that they're the head and not the tail, because out there, they're not going to tell them that. They're not going to hear positive speech. They need to come into the Holy Ghost hospital, which is the church, and they need to be healed. They need to hear words of encouragement. They need to know that they can be the prime minister if they want to be. I'm pretty sure that somebody was telling Barack Obama, because you're black in America, you won't make it. But you know, he overrid that, because know that someone was praying for him and somebody told him, you can be whatever you want to be. Children in here today, I want you to hear that in the name of Jesus, you can be whatever you're called to be. Amen. God has a purpose and a plan for your lives. Hear that today and receive it in Jesus' name. Parents, I want to encourage you to continue to speak positive and speak life over your children, even when they're naughty. Let me say that again. Even when they're naughty, speak life, because it's when they're naughty where our negative words come out. You're a bad child. You're just like your father. All those things come out. They come out. Yeah? Yeah? Mm-mm. You're not just like your father. You're going to be different. You're going to be better than he was. And in fact, we need to start speaking good about the father as well, because he will become good. Amen? Yeah? Let's not fall into that trap. Yeah? We don't want our children to become discouraged by the things that used to hurt us, the things about their dad that hurt you. Stop it today if it's happening. Amen? Stop it today. Let your children grow up healthy. Yeah? They need to grow up healthy. They need to have healthy minds. Yeah? They need to have a chance. You're the person that will stop them from having a chance. If you keep speaking negatively, no, they have no chance if that's what you're going to begin to do in your home. Today, if you need to repent, do it now. Amen? Psalms 19 and 14. Psalmist says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." The words that we speak should be acceptable in God's sight. I'm sure quite a few of us, including myself here, speak words that's not acceptable in God's sight. If God is everywhere and he's always with you, that means everything you speak, even in the hidden dark places of your own home, whether you're in the toilet or the bathroom, God's always in your sight. So it's important, you know, Pastor Robert ain't there, Pastor Pauline ain't there, Sister Sharon ain't there, they're not in your house. So you don't think you can just say anything in your house because none of the pastors are there. Or no one in church is there, right? God is there, right? The Bible says, let the words of your mouth and the meditation, those things that you think about, that you ponder about, let it be acceptable. Do not think evil about somebody, right? That's the meditation of your heart. Don't think evil about someone, because it's in the sight of God. If you are a Christian here today, amen, it's in the sight of God, because the Holy Spirit is with you wherever you go. Yeah, let the words of your mouth be acceptable in the sight of God. Psalms 54 and 2 says, "Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth." Do you want God to give ear to the words of your negative speech? I'm pretty sure you don't. So let's start speaking in songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Let your speech be pleasing unto God. Let his ear want to hear what you're saying. Let God be pleased with that which comes out of your mouth. Yeah? God doesn't want to hear poisonous speech or you talking about this person and that person. He wants to hear you edifying him. Jesus said, bless those who curse you, those who despitefully use you. He said, bless them. When you come to God, bless them. If you want them to change, whether you're upset with them or not, if you want them to change, bless them. The best way for someone to change is when you bless them. Begin to speak the opposite of what you are seeing. Do you hear me, church? Amen? I want to hear some encouragement here because I want to know that you're hearing this today. It's important that the church begin to hear these things. We need to know what we're doing wrong and we need to stop it. Right? That's what the Spirit of God is saying to the church today. There is too much negativity. Once we get out of this door today, something is going to happen. Amen? But what are you going to speak when it does happen? You, the church. What are you going to speak when it does happen? Matthew 5 and 22. Jesus said, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Rika, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. The word Rika there means worthless, useless, no good, empty-headed. Those are the words that we use so easily. Those are the words that you usually use to children. Yeah? Jesus spoke against that one. He says, you will be in danger of the council. No doubt that's the counsel of God. If you call someone a fool, you'll be in danger of hellfire. Yeah? That's how serious God takes words, church. That's how serious he takes it. Yeah? Don't say to someone, you empty head, because what you're doing there is you're saying to that person that God fashioned, fearfully and wonderfully made, you're saying you're an empty head. So what you're doing realistically, you're saying to God, you made that person no good. Yet God said, what everything I made was good. In the beginning, he said it was good. When he looked at creation, he said it was good. But yet you're calling that person an empty head and you're calling that person Rika. Yeah, that's the only place that you will see it in the Bible. Yet it's so powerful. And I think when we read it, we read over it. We don't bother to see exactly what Jesus was saying there. Let's stop calling people an empty head. Let's stop calling people worthless. Yeah, it doesn't promote their health. It doesn't promote anything good. In fact, it stops their lives. It puts it at a halt because you know what happens? They can't get over the words that you spoke. And then that little child grows up to a teenager and from a teenager grows up bigger and they can't get over those negative words because you know what? They're hard to shed when they've been rooted in. Amen? Jesus said, bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. Matthew 5 and 44. When you bless someone with positive words, blessing someone when they do wrong can change them and it can change you. It can change them and it can change you. When somebody is having a full-scale argument with you and that, the best way to diffuse that fire is what? Put water on it. You speak the opposite. Whether you're riled up or not, you have the Holy Spirit. You stop for a moment. You have a sealer moment. You allow the Holy Spirit to come and say, how do I deal with this situation? I am ready to say this. I'm ready to say that. On Facebook the other day, I put a situation that happened to me on the bus. So, hallelujah. A woman came on the bus. And I was texting someone on the bus. And she came on the bus, and I didn't actually see her. I was sitting in the disabled bit, right? So, and I didn't see her because my head was down. So she didn't realize, I still didn't see her. So she came, oh, you, and she's a foreigner. And she said, you don't want to get up for me. And she was screaming and shouting and called me every name on the bus and that. Oh, Lord, you had to be, I was thinking. The meditation of my heart really needed some deliverance and that. But I decided, you know what? I better not say anything. I better not make that life by saying anything to her. So, and she moved on, and somebody else, a couple of Muslim girls, moved for her and they gave her the chair. Then she started on them. And she's, I called it them foreigners. I swear to you, she was a foreigner as well. So, anyway, Gloria, I ended up seeing the funny side of it. But I'm saying that to say, my thoughts at that time, I really wanted to tell her something, but, you know, she was an older woman, so I respect her to come in, and I had to, and the first thing I thought of is, you know what, if I say anything to her, God can hear me. I was more concerned that God can hear me because you know what? I was putting this together to come and minister to you so I couldn't fail. Amen. The Bible says, cast down the imaginations when you're obedient. Amen. So I had to make sure that I was obedient to it and pass that test. Psalm 119 and what? Psalm 119, verse 130 says, the entrance of your words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. The psalmist, although he was talking about God's principle here, it applies to all of us. We're to be mindful how the entrance of words set in. Yeah? It says there, the entrance of your words give light. The entrance of your words should give light to everyone that hears it. Yeah? You're supposed to be speaking life, light into somebody because it goes in. The Bible tells us here, Psalm 119, it says, the entrance, that means it goes somewhere. The only way to enter into something is if you're going in, yeah? That means words go in, amen? So we have to be careful with our words, what words are actually going in. Yeah? When you're speaking to each other, what words are actually going in? Our ears are not tuned to positive words, unfortunately, because we tend to shy away when somebody gives us a compliment. Amen? We make an excuse. Oh, that outfit's really nice. Oh, yeah, I had to put in Primark. You know, we really find it hard to receive compliments. We will tell you where we bought it for. Oh, it didn't really cost too much. And that, because we can't really receive compliments. But the minute somebody says something negative, you know, you hear it like a pin dropping in a room, you know? They call this thing, there's a thing in psychology called the cocktail effect. And what the cocktail effect is if you're in a room crowded with people and you say you're all in here making noise, and I go over to Sister Sharon and just happen to say, yeah, you know your husband, Pastor Robert, it doesn't matter how noisy in here, he will hear it. He will hear his name. Right? It doesn't matter. They found this to be true. If somebody is talking about you in a crowded room, you will hear them. You will hear them even more so if it's negative. If it's positive, you'll probably still hear them, but ignore it. Because that is what we do. And that's not what God wants us to do today. He wants us to hear what's positive. Because what's positive about you is in the Word of God. So why shouldn't I speak positive over your life if I'm speaking the Word of God? Yeah? If I'm saying to you, you're the head and not the tail, why won't you receive it? I'm speaking life into you. If I'm saying you're healed in Jesus' name, why won't you hear it? Because I'm speaking the Word of God. Yeah? We speak the Word of God to one another, and then we say, oh, it's too spiritual when that person says something. It's the Word of God. It's life. Why do we excuse around it? Because we can't receive it in our hearts. We're so used to blocking it with all the negative that when the positive comes, we just shove it out the way. How will you ever be healthy? How will we ever be healed? Yeah? The Word of God is a double-edged sword. It will go straight to the marrow of your heart. It will go to where it needs to go. But you need to open that gate and let the entrance of the Word of light come in. Yeah? Open up your heart. Open up your ears. Begin to hear what's positive. Begin to hear what God is saying about you. For I know the purposes and the plans that I have for you. Jeremiah 29. Begin to hear it when somebody prophesies over you. Even if you don't believe it for that moment, don't discard it. Right? If it's the Word of God and he says, you're going to be a pastor, you're going to be a leader. You know, oh, no, I don't want to be a pastor. I don't want to get up there. Oh, you know, everybody, oh, everyone's going to see you. So what? When you're up here, you're bringing the Word of God. It doesn't matter what the eyes of the people are thinking. In the end of the day, the Word of God has got power. We need to continue to speak it to one another. Guess what? Because when you keep speaking it, eventually, you're going to knock that tree down. Yeah, it's going to get in. The entrance is going to get into their hearts. Yeah? And that's what we need to continuously do, whether they accept it or not. Because what we do is, when we speak positive and somebody, oh, yeah, I put in Primark, we just leave it after that. Because they didn't receive it, we just leave it. We don't actually continue. Because in our minds, we're just saying, oh, you know what? You know, oh, I've just given them a compliment and they don't receive it. So what about what you feel? Stop it. Just continue to give them. They might be going through something where they just can't receive it. So you keep on saying it. And guess what? Even if they don't like it, you keep on speaking it anyway. Because guess what? It will bring life to them. Eventually, they're going to hear it. Their hearts are going to be open. The entrance of your word is going to go deep down. Because what you want your words to do is root inside. And the only thing that a root can do when it's watered is grow. Amen? The only thing a root can do is grow. Right? So don't look at what people are thinking or what they're saying. Look at what they need. They need you to speak positive. If somebody comes in here limping, they need you to say, by the time you come out here, you're going to be walking in the name of Jesus. You say it until they believe it. If they come the next week and they're limping, in the name of Jesus, today you're walking out of here. But you said that last week. So what? It's God's time. Yeah? It's in God's time. You're going to be walking. You're going to be healed. You know, if you have diabetes, today is the day that it will no longer be there in the name of Jesus. Receive it. Receive it. Huh? Even when you're taking your tablet, your insulin or whatever, still you are blessed. You are healed in the name of Jesus. No matter what the facts look like, receive that you are healed in the name of Jesus, because God's words are not lies and they do not come back void. Once they go out in the atmosphere, they will fall on you. They will rain down on you. But what you need to do is open your heart and receive the rain and the word of God. When he spoke light, light has been there and it's been there ever since. Therefore, when you speak the word of God, it continues for the rest of your life. And guess what else it does? It goes into your family. It goes into your family. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yeah? So when you speak that, you are speaking over your family. Job 5:11. No, this is for somebody out here today. I really believe it. You shall be hidden from the scourge of the tongue. Job 5:21. Somebody out here today needs to know that. Job 5:21. You will be hidden from the scourge of somebody's tongue. In Jesus' name. Yeah? That is the word of God. Whoever that is for, go to Job 5:21 today when you get home and meditate on it, because God is getting ready to do that for you. Letting the entrance of God's word to give you light around us. Light means revelation. It means illumination. It means freedom. It means healing. Light allows you to see where you're going. When somebody speaks light over you, they open up a pathway that you're able to see where you're going. All the darkness has got to be removed out of light. It's got to. So when you speak light in somebody's dark world, just like the God that you serve, the God your Father, as soon as you speak life, they're going to be able to see. They're going to be able to move on in their lives. They're going to get from A to B because you helped them along by speaking light, healing, deliverance, revelation. The writer of Corinthians says, What shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge? I've got to speak, when we speak to people, speak with revelation and speak with understanding. Yeah? That's 1 Corinthians 14:6. Yeah? That means you have to speak by understanding. And the word that you speak will profit someone. And to profit someone means that they will gain something. When a company makes profit, it means that they've gained something. That's what the writer here was saying. The writer of Corinthians was saying that it profits people. Yeah, it makes them gain when you speak revelation and knowledge to them. Do not speak things that you don't understand. Speak the word of God. Don't speak due to the circumstance. Speak the word of God. That's what God wants us to do. That's what God desires for his church to do. It's to speak his word. He's given us his word. We read his word each and every single day. By now, it should be digested inside, that everything that comes out our mouth should be what we've read. Whatever you read goes in. So if you spend time reading the word of God, it will go in. And the only thing that once something goes in, it's got to come out. Yeah? If good goes in, it's got to come out. If bad goes in, it's got to come out. So why not feed yourself on the word of God? Feed yourself with positivity. We are our own worst enemies. I don't need somebody to talk bad about me, because guess what? We do it ourselves. Yeah? So if you speak bad about somebody else and it's no good for their lives, you do it to yourself. You actually speak bad about yourself. That we're so caught up in how we look or appear to other people that we get self-critical. We look at Hollywood and we get self-critical. Oh, he looks perfect. I don't want to go under the knife to look perfect. I want to age well. Amen? In fact, I'm going to age well in Jesus' name. I don't want to go under a knife and go through all those problems. But yet we look at that and that is a picture of perfection. It isn't perfection. What is perfection is what God said. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I took my time when I made you. I fashioned you. I formed you. I know the very hairs on your head, because when I was putting them in one by one, like when you're putting those false lashes in, but I put them, and I was really careful when I put them in, because when you put in false eyelashes, you have to be careful don't poke out somebody's eye. And that's what God was doing with you. He was carefully fashioning you, right? So back to that word Rika. So how can we say that that word person's a worthless object? Yeah, God says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. So stop looking at, oh, my nose is too big. The only reason your nose is too big is because you're comparing it to somebody else's nose. Because if you really realize that God has made you a certain way and fitted all your parts together rightly, you will be quite happy with yourself. Amen? If it's a weight issue and it's got something to do with your health, fair enough. Fair enough. Lose a couple of pounds just for your health. Not for anybody else. Just for yourself. It's important. Start looking after yourself. Look in the mirror every morning. Don't think, oh, no, I'm really vain doing that. No, you're not. You're speaking the word of God over your life. Look at me. I'm fearfully, I'm wonderfully made. Yeah? Keep saying it. It sounds like I'm joking up here, but it's so serious. It's so serious that we look in the mirror and start declaring things as nice. Stop looking at your sister. Stop looking at her. Oh, she looks horrible in that thing. So what? She thinks she looks nice. Yeah? And you're supposed to be telling her she looked nice. Just because it's not your taste, it don't mean it don't look good. All it means is it's not your taste. Amen? Amen? Yeah? But she might think that she looked really great. So guess what? Pick her up. Say to her, yes, sis, you know what? You look good. But just because you think it, you look good. We are the church. Our words have power. Our words have life. Let's start speaking life. Peace, illumination, revelation. And the only way you can speak revelation of one another is when you're connected this way. Yeah? If we can't speak positively to one another, it's because we're not connected here. Every day when the mercy of God wakes you up, he speaks something positive to you. He says, little children, darling, wake up this morning. Weren't your alarm clock? Wake up this morning. I've got a purpose and a plan for you this morning. This is what I want you to do. I want you to go over to that sister. I want you to phone that sister. I want you to phone that brother. And I want you to speak life over them. I want you to tell them how much I love them. I want you to remind them who they are in the Lord. I don't care if they upset you yesterday. I need you to overcome that right now. And I need you to go and speak to them. I need you to go over to that sister and phone her and forgive her, because that's my word. It's going to bring life and healing to her. And it's going to bring life and healing to you. But God, you don't know how she hurt me. You know, I know what hurt feels like. Jesus says, I know what hurt feels like. I felt it on the cross. Amen? I felt it on the cross. I am acquainted with your ways. I know how you feel. I know what it's like when people despitefully use you. I know what it's like when they hate you, when you're trying to do good to them. I understand all that. I was dying for a world and they were still spitting at me. They were still calling me names. They were still doing that. But I was loving them when it was happening. I was still loving them when it was happening. When I was on the cross and the nails were coming and they were calling me names and they were shouting me, I was doing it for the future. Amen. I was doing it for you. I was doing it for that person that upset you. I was doing that for a person that's still going to upset you in the future. When I lay on that cross and I was bleeding and they pierced my side, I did it so that you can be free from words. Shannon, what I want us to do this afternoon, this is the altar call bit. I'm going to ask you to stand up. I'm going to ask you to hold the hands of one other person. This is our altar call this morning. This afternoon. I think about morning, didn't I? I want you to think about yourself when you're speaking these words. And I also want you to think about the person that's standing next to you, whether they're on one side or the other side. I want you to have them in mind when you're declaring these words. Now, the words that the Holy Spirit took me to that we're going to repeat today is words that things that normally would affect us. So I want you to hear it in your spirit today. And I want it, as you speak those words, I want it to become alive in your spirit. I want you to own it and I want you to believe it. The Spirit of God is moving in this place and He wants your hearts to be open. The best way for anything to happen is to declare it out in the atmosphere. The Bible says, and I also want you to quote the scripture that I'm going to say so that you know it's the word of God. Amen. The Bible says, and you say it to yourself and the person next to you, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139 and 14. Speak it. Psalm 139 and 14. Then say to them, you're made perfect. Secondly, before you were formed in the womb, God knew you. Jeremiah 1 and 5. Somebody out here, you were wanted. 3, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace and not evil. To give you a future and a hope. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. You have a positive future and destiny. And I will help you with God's help to get you there. Number 4. Your name is ointment poured forth. Song of Songs 1 verse 3. Don't despise your name. Hear this one now. You are dark but lovely. Song of Solomon 1 and 5. And if you're fair, the same thing for you, amen. Don't despise your complexion. You are the apple of God's eye. And it's in two places. Zechariah 2 verse 8. And Psalm 17 verse 8. You're His favorite child. For God so loved the world. John 3:16. And John 16:27. He loves you. God has given you a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1 and 7. There's nothing wrong with you. You are forgiven. Ephesians 1 and 7. You are not condemned. Romans 8 verse 1. And finally, you're blessed. John 20 and 29. And Acts 3 and 25. In Jesus' name, amen.